Blog Talk Radio.
So you've been in a relationship. It could be either long or short term. And for a while, everything seemed to be going along fine. And then suddenly, your partner seems to be working late a lot or taking a lot of out-of-town trips. Maybe he's been distant or preoccupied. Maybe she doesn't want to have sex with you anymore. Your heart sinks because you suspect that they might be cheating. So you look at their phone, and sure enough, you find text messages that confirm your suspicion. Why do people cheat on each other? This can be one of the most painful things that ever happens. Here you trusted somebody with your heart, and then you really feel betrayed. Hello, and welcome to The Download with Sia and Diva, where we talk about love, life, and take your calls at 760-890-7137. Have you been cheated on? Have you cheated on somebody else? Call in and tell us about it. And a shout out to all the guys who've been calling in. We'd love to hear from you. All right, Sia, so let's get down to the question. Why do you think people cheat?
Well, I think the obvious, always the number one reason that I hear 90% of the time is that they're not getting it at home. They're not getting it at home. It's used as a device. You know, it's used as a torture device in a relationship. One person will not have intimacy with the other person. They're not having sex at all. Also, this one partner lets themselves go, doesn't do the upkeep, doesn't brush their hair, doesn't brush their teeth, doesn't take care of themselves in any way, and that attraction is no longer there. One partner hasn't had, like, all their fantasies fulfilled and has a lot of fantasies and knows that the other partner isn't going to do that with them, right? Or they just really don't want to be in that relationship and they want to be caught. They don't know how to end it themselves and they want to be caught. That's really something that happens quite a lot as well. And also ego, having that ego. I can do this. I can get away with it. She or he will accept it. You know, and also revenge, using it to get back at their partner.
You know, you said something about wanting to leave the relationship. Why can't people just say, you know, I just don't think this is working out, and I think I want to start seeing someone else, and, you know, just kind of do something other than cheating on the person. Why do you suppose
that
happens?
A lot of times they think it would be easier if they were just found cheating and the other person would leave without incident. Or they're afraid that they're not going to have someone to love them and they want to have, at least they know the person that they're with loves them, even if they don't love them back, but they'd like to find somebody that they actually love or they feel compatible with. So those are basically the two reasons. Basically, those are it. You know, cowardly, but truth.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it would be more noble if people would just sort of admit to themselves that they're not having the relationship that they want and be willing to be alone for a while until they find that. Or, you know, maybe when they break up with the person, they suddenly realize, wow, what am I missing? I had a really good thing going, and why did I, you know, what was I thinking to leave this wonderful person?
You think that would be the truth, that people would have guilt or remorse, but I'm going to let you know right now, 75% of the time, that's not truth at all. The truth is that they're happy, that they engaged in another thing that fulfilled their needs, that their wants were taken care of. They felt the person that they were deserved this. And yeah, you get some of these people go around, I feel guilty. But a lot of times those feel guilty people, what they do is they go and tell their partner that they cheated on them. And right then and there, I know that they don't really feel guilty. It's because their partner didn't find out that they were cheating and they needed to see their partner suffer.
They wanted them to know. Wow.
Yeah, they wanted them to know. They wanted them to suffer. And I don't really care what innocent eyes look at me and tell me I couldn't live with it. It hurt and I had to share. I couldn't do this. No, it's all a bunch of bullshit. Point blank bullshit. We wanted to make sure that person knew. You wanted to make sure that person suffered. And they couldn't figure out you were cheating on them. They didn't catch the signs because they weren't paying attention. And that was one of the reasons why you cheated on them in the first place, because you weren't getting enough attention. So you made sure you made them suffer. There's no need to make someone suffer. If you were cheating on a person and you decided you no longer wish to cheat on that person and your partner didn't know and life was happy and good and on its way and you were happy with your partner again, keep it happy. What's the whole process of making someone suffer? To relieve yourself? Again, not a very good act.
You know, I have a suspicion. I don't know if this is true or not, but I sometimes wonder if people cheat because they like the thrill of cheating and getting away with it. Do you think
that? It is exciting. It is exciting to have an affair. And this is not saying go have an affair, but it is exciting. You're at home. It's boring. There's nothing going on, right? There's no love. There's no hugs. There's no kisses. There's no talking. There's no nothing. It's exciting. It's exciting to get the butterflies in the stomach. It's exciting to go around the corner and talk and text on the phone. It does. It's thrill. It's adrenaline rush. You know, wondering if you're going to get caught, wondering if the other person's going to find out, or just the excitement of meeting somebody new and having that ability to socialize. Something that you can't do at home because that's stopped. Something that's not, you're trying to socialize with your partner and they're not reciprocating because they're stuck in a rut or they like the way that you're doing it. And even though you've tried conversing with them, nothing's come about. Hey, I'm not always on the person who cheats as the bad guy. Do I represent that you should cheat on people? No, but I can see both sides of the story.
Do you think when people come to you and they're talking about this issue, do they let the person know? I mean, I'm thinking of these online dating applications, and a lot of people seem to think that they're used as a way of cheating on the partner because they're not being upfront about, yes, I am married. They're presenting themselves as single. And I just wonder if maybe cheaters are cheating on both their spouse and the person that they're cheating with who may not know. Have you ever had that situation?
I think that's sort of true, but then we turn it into polyamory. Everybody's loving everybody. Because if the man you're with has to be home by 9 o'clock every night, well, honey, sweetheart, he's got someone. Or the woman that you're with can only stay 2 hours and then has to leave or can only see you at lunch. Yeah, they've got someone, but you know that. People like to pretend they don't know when they see the obvious, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If it walks like a duck, it clucks like a duck, it's a duck. Hey, you know? But, you know, I see this as just people maturing. Sometimes you're not as mature as you'd like to be. Sometimes you want to be young again. Sometimes you're in crisis. There's all different levels of life that people are going through that these things happen. And I don't judge the person as being a horrible person because I don't. I can see how these things happen. Having an affair is having an affair, and it's a release of a certain situation, a chemical in your body that needs to be done in emotion. And judgment isn't necessary. It's understanding why you're doing it. Should you keep on doing it? How should you end it, or how should you confront the situation? That's it.
Sometimes I think that Europeans have a solution to this that always seemed to sort of make sense to me. You know, if you're going to have a mistress or a lover, you do that. You just don't let the other person know. You don't rub it in their face. So you're not dishonoring the person that you married or the person that you've got a primary thing going with, but you still have this relationship that gives you some sort of satisfaction or freshness. And it seems to me, in some ways, I mean, there's two sides to this story, obviously, but it seems kinder in a way not to let the other person know. You know, if you're going to have an affair, okay. But just don't let her find out about it. Don't let him find out about it. And don't hurt him.
I think making someone suffer is totally wrong. You know,
yeah.
If you're going to have an affair, you're going to have an affair. Oh, let's suppose your wife or husband is sort of knows you're having an affair, but they like the status quo. They realize they don't satisfy you in bed. They realize they don't have any interest in that part of your life, but they love everything else about your life. So the other person has a mistress, has an affair. I think that's all good as long as people sort of know, you know. And like you said, there's no interruption in between the family life and everybody's happy. If people know, they know. Just because they don't speak, it doesn't mean they don't know. You know, I have a woman who used to give the mistress $300 and a gift certificate from Macy's every year thanking her for being with her husband. Yes.
You're kidding.
Yes. It was a thank you. It was, and her husband had several It was never the same woman every year. But just so that woman would know, I'm number one, you're number two, but I thank you for what you do because I don't have to do it. The wife honestly didn't enjoy having oral sex. That man was getting oral sex from the other person. So this was the wife's thank you to the other person. Hey, everybody's happy. Who am I to judge? They're all adults.
You know, I think earlier you said something. Yeah, you said something that really floored me. You said sometimes women are grateful that their husband has had an affair, and it makes them appreciate them.
A lot of women love it, and I know this sounds ignorant, but it's not. I sit in closed rooms with women. I speak to them face to face, and they tell me everything, and I listen. A lot of women are really happy once their husbands cheat on them. They really, really love their husbands more. They didn't think their husbands were sexy. They didn't think their husband could get anybody. They denied their husband sex for a year, 2 years. Their husband was a piece of shit, this horrible man who paid the bills, who cared for him, who came home, who just wasn't it anymore, and they're into yoga and breathing and wondering who they are and finding themselves. Wonderful, wonderful. Boom, their husband has an affair. Boom, he's got a young chick or something close to a young chick, whatever it is. Boom, the wife finds out, hey, now he becomes desirable. Now you think he's sexy. Now you want to please him in bed. Now you want him back. And the husband, all he wanted was his wife to begin with. She just didn't want him anymore. So he stuck it out. He did the best he could. He doesn't want to break up his family. He finds another chick. Boom, the wife is happy. She becomes a wonderful wife. Yay, the marriage is on. Hallelujah. And that is quite common as well, unbelievably common. Am I telling you that this is all right and healthy? No, I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you that these things happen. And do I judge anybody?
Yeah, because
no,
the thing of it is, if you cheat on somebody and they find out, you have broken their trust. How can you possibly trust them after that? You know, I think it would be really hard to come back from it.
No, because if you can see your fault, the woman who denies or the husband who denies or the partner denies the other person's sex, the person who knows that they don't even bother looking at the person in their house, just can't stand them, they're only there to help pay the bills, they can see their fault. When you treat someone like an animal and you can acknowledge that you're treating that person like an animal or less than or like a doormat, and then eventually they react and you acknowledge the fact it was you who treated them like that, yeah, you can get over it because you have to stand in what you've done. Because to point one finger at them is to point three fingers back at you. So you have to be grown up enough to say, did I have anything to do with this situation? Did I cause this in any way? Was I a part of this? Did I have fault within this? Is there a flaw that I might have had? And let's suppose you had no flaws. The person is a narcissist, horrible human being, and you have no flaws. Well, then, where are your boundaries? What will you accept? What won't you accept? And how are you going to get out of the situation if you choose to? Some women prefer not to get out whatsoever, even though their husband is a narcissist or their wife. And they're still okay with it because they have such low self-esteem or they have a different perception of what a healthy relationship is. Or they like comfortably living. It is what it is. You know, we'd all like that classic picture of the 1950s. It doesn't exist anymore. Quite difficult.
I wonder if it ever did exist. You know, I'm not so sure it was ever true. But let's say you have this relationship and you know that someone's cheating and you've got proof. How do you talk about it? Do you think you should bring it up? And if you do bring it up, what would you say? How could you open up that conversation with somebody?
It depends on who I am in the relationship. Am I a good partner? Did I try my best? Was there communication? Was everything wonderful in the home? I'd have to look at who I am in this relationship. What part do I take in this relationship? From that part, I sit down with the information, and then I recognize in my head what I want to say, and I write down what I want to say or what I want to get across to. And then I want to be able to listen. Because being hysterical, I mean, if you want to be hysterical and make a scene and crash stuff and things like that, I honestly, my energy isn't for that. If I'm not in the mood to fix it, I'll leave it. If I'm in the mood to fix it, I'll attempt it. But at no point do I want to exert a lot of energy into someone who I believe may have done me wrong, unless I know I've participated in this and I've caused this, or I've helped. Not that I've caused, because no one can cause someone to do an action. I've helped in this situation. It all depends on where you stand. You can always present your case, but you have to be open to listen. You have to be open to listen. That's a part of communication, right? Speaking and listening, speaking and listening. That's what it's about. This is all about poor communication and understanding.
Yeah, but, you know, it goes back even a step further, because if you look back, you might have seen signs that he would cheat way in the beginning. I mean, if you meet someone, you've been working with people for a long time, do you have a sense of whether or not they would cheat on somebody when you meet them? Get to know them a little bit?
Well, you know what? I think it's hard to say. Sometimes you get a serial cheater that just what, and he'll tell you, I'm not good in relationships. I really had a hard time in relationships. It's not my thing. So that's usually letting me know he likes to sleep around. He's totally uninterested in committing. Or the person who says, I really don't want to get married, and the girl who stands there and hangs on forever and ever. He doesn't want to get married because he doesn't want to commit to anybody. So then he's going to cheat on you. It's okay. You wanted to stay there. You did it. And now you're all upset. You know, the man who's a continuous liar over everything, anything little he's lying about all the time. The man who has poor willpower, you know, he just can't seem to get anything done. He can't keep his word for anything. These are good signs that he's going to cheat on you. And you've seen it already, but you chose to stay there. You wanted to make him better. You didn't want to lose him to another woman because he's such a great catch. Or he didn't want to lose you, whichever way, you know. Men stay with beautiful women because they're beautiful and they wish that, you know, then this woman cheats with all these different men and they just stay there. They're happy to pay for it and they pay the bills. I see both sides of the story. You know, as long as they're adults, go ahead. But I wouldn't. And I'd try to help you see a healthier version of this. You know, what would be the best thing for you health-wise, emotional health? But if you truly want to be where you're at, then let's accept it and move forward.
Yeah, I mean, it does get down to the essential question of what can you accept in a relationship, and it ultimately reflects back on your own self-value and self-esteem. Because if you really do feel...
your values. Mm-hmm. Your morals. How many women do I find out their morals are basically, I want things. I want things. And if he has another one, oh, well. They're fine with that. And they feel really okay with that. And then you think, wow, they must be lonely inside, or, you know, they must just be so materialistic that they're empty. A lot of these women are living well lives, have lots of girlfriends, have lots of family, have their children, feel well with everything. Just do not want to be uprooted, and they're okay. And they're okay, and they don't have low self-esteem. They're just uninterested. And this person has become a friend, someone that they've known in their life. They've been married to him 20 years. They're uninterested. They're uninterested in that part of a relationship. And if everything else is kosher, why not? Why not?
Do you think it's always sex that makes people
cheat? Main reason is sex. You know, feeling... You want intimacy as a part of a relationship, right? When two people care for each other, there's intimacy. When the intimacy stops for whatever reason, there's only so long. It could be a year, it could be 5 years. I don't know the person. Who hold out never to be touched, never to be loved, never to be kissed. You know, some people honestly feel okay with their family, their children. They're all set. Other people need that, need to be hugged, need to be told, wow, you know, you're stunning. I find you beautiful. I find you handsome. Need to have that. Some people do not. And so when you get married in the beginning, there is intimacy. And then after a while, sometimes intimacy stops. What about the partner who needed that, who still needs that, who needs to be touched, loved, slept with, cuddled? You know, it's not always just about the main intercourse itself, form of making love, the foundation of lying in bed with another person, that intimacy, that caring, that caressing, that compassion, all gone. How about if that person loved that part of the relationship and now it's gone?
Yeah, and there's also the question of who wants one, what, when. You know, it's not always even. People's desires aren't always matched, you know, like maybe
he wants more
and she wants less, or she wants more and he wants less. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can enter into the equation.
Yeah. The power play in the bedroom, you know, sex can be used for power. And also fetishes, kinky sex, what you see on TV, 50 Shades of Grey stuff came out. Everybody wanted to do it. Everybody wanted handcuffs. Not everybody, but, you know, many people wanted to try new things. You know, many women wanted to try new things. And their husbands were like, no, we never did that before. We've been married 15, 16 years. Let's just keep it the way it is. And so then their fetishes, what they wanted, or their kink, their style, isn't happening in the bedroom. So they go get it somewhere else and try it out and see if they like it. Sometimes they don't, and they just wanted to try it out, but the other person just didn't want to do it. They've been married so long, it's not going to happen. You're not putting handcuffs on me. You're not blindfolding me, and no, I'm not going to beat you. You know, but because we saw it on 50 Shades of Grey, we all want to. Where are my nipple clippers? You know, where's a husband that you've been married to 25 years going to pop out with nipple clippers? Maybe that's not his thing. Maybe he can't even imagine his wife being taken that way.
So many women have told me that, you know, he bought her some sexy underwear, and she says, I feel stupid. I feel silly. I don't want to wear that. And then somebody else told me something really interesting. She said, you can tell if someone's cheating on you when they start trying all this new stuff in bed. And I thought, wow.
Definitely. I love that sign. That's so funny.
Didn't think of that, but she was right. I mean, he was. It hurt her. And that's how she found out. She was perceptive. She was an older woman. And so she thought, oh, you know, he's picking this up from somebody else.
It's the truth. It's the truth. When your partner turns into a total different sex person in bed, he's been doing it with somebody else, and he's been picking up tricks, or she's been picking up tricks. Once in a while, you could get a new move, or you could talk about it intimately. Hey, babe, I'd like to try this or that. But when your partner's a new partner sexually in bed, they're doing it with someone else. They're doing it with someone else, and they're trying to play it out and see if you'll cooperate. They like what they've got somewhere else. It's all about trying to spice it up. And then again, I show no judgment in that area. I really don't. There's no judgment for me to say. You know it's true. Everybody knows it's true. The person that wanted something extra, you didn't do anything extra. So they went out, they figured out something extra. They brought it back home, tried to spice it up. You know what I mean? And I'm pretty open for trying sex any which way you want to, as long as it's with an adult that has nothing to do with animals or children. You know, because I don't believe in judging anybody. And I believe women are strong. I believe we can hold our own in the bed. I mean, the man is not the everything in the bed. A woman is strong. And if we choose to do whatever we want to do, we rule the bed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We really do. I can make a man drop to his knees for me in bed, and that's a point-blank truth, because I know me, and I know who I am, and that's the point of it. What do you know about yourself? Do you stand in your power? And are you the goddess that you should be within your bedroom? It's a command performance, you know? I really do believe that. I believe sex is a part of spirituality, a part of human growth, and a part of the process within a relationship of intimacy. You know?
Yeah,
and if
I
you
hear
just
want
you. To give that away, then give it away.
I hear you, but I think that essentially, eventually, just personally, it's not a great thing to cheat on your partner. I think it's horribly damaging. It can have really bad repercussions, and I'm not someone who's, I mean, I think everybody makes their own decision.
On your partner,
I don't want to judge
wrong.
Anybody, but.
No, cheating on your partner is wrong, but when everybody knows what's going on and everybody's okay with it, or okay, when people come to tell me that they're cheating on their partner, I'm not there to judge them. I'm there to figure out why and see if there's a way to do healing. Because if you're coming to a therapist like me and you want, I'm not there to judge you. I'm there to listen, understand, converse. Can there be a lot of times, you know, your partner may leave you. It's not a surprise. But why are you doing this if you're worried that your partner is going to leave you? Are you really that worried? Did you find this an okay moment? Are you ready for growth and change? Are you ready to expand your communication level with your partner? What's going on? To talk to someone for advice is to know, understand that there is no judgment. No judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to see you if you're faithful. Yep.
Do you think that men or women are more likely to cheat? Have you noticed one way or the other?
It's 50-50. Women cheat hysterically. Men cheat hysterically. It is what it is. It's no more. It's only men. Women cheat because they stand in their power. If they're not getting it at home and they're not happy, they're going out. This whole thing that your wife is waiting for you to come home and love her, no, she's done waiting. She's strong as heck. She'd love for you to be kind, but if you're not going to take care of business, somebody else will. We have Facebook. We have tons of different communications nowadays. It's not the woman at home baking a cake and she can't drive anymore. People really have to work hard on their relationships to make it happen. And if they're not there to work hard, somebody else is there to work for you. So you should keep on your toes. Yes, you should trust the one that you love, but also you should respect the one that you're with and try to have an understanding. And if you decide to close down, don't expect the person to stay open.
Yeah. Relationships are really tricky, you know, keeping them going, keeping them open, because you got two people both having their lives, their ups, their downs, their transitions. I think it's a big deal to be in a relationship, and it's really great when you can be open and honest and not feel the need to cheat on somebody, you know, to really trust your partner and get along and find a way to solve those problems that lead to cheating, because then you got something really reliable and dependable. Because at the end of the day, if you can't trust the person you're with, what have you got? You know, if you don't have that intimacy, what's there to rely on?
At the end of the day, you want to establish a relationship that works for both parties. And I think that's what you really have to look at. And what I defined as trust may be something different to you. You know, do both parties agree there should be a third party? I don't know. You know, it's all about communication and understanding or acceptance, knowing your boundaries, knowing yourself. You know, the world's getting bigger. Times are getting faster. People are changing. So do you want to go with the change? Are you ready to change? Or do you have someone who believes in what you do? What's the core faith values? Do you share them? There's a lot going on in relationships right now, and that's why there's so much need for relationship advice, because staying with the times can be hard. I wish it was nice and easy, one person, everybody's in love for the rest of their life. It doesn't work like that. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and at the bottom, everybody wants love. And, you know, it's just it's a tricky thing. Well, we are out of time. It just flies here at the download. And I just want to say, if you have a question that you want answered on the air, if you want to book a private consultation, you can go to seaspade.com. You can send an email by pressing the mail icon on the show page. And be sure to follow the show so that you'll be notified of future episodes. Hold the date of June 22nd for our workshop on developing intuition in New York City. You can get more information on that by going to eventbrite.com and searching for Develop Your Intuition. And we're also going to post it on our website, so you can go right there to seaspade.com. So until next time, good night, Sia.
Good night, Diva.
And we'll talk to you next week. All right, bye.
Bye.